This interview is being conducted on December 7th, 2013, with Mr. Willard Nelson at the Indian Prairie Library in Darien, Illinois. My name is Deb Barrett. Mr. Nelson was born on May 29th, 1922, in Chicago, Illinois. He is a retired pharmacist, having worked at Walgreens, Michael Reese Hospital, and owning his own pharmacy. And how did you learn of the Veterans History Project? How did you learn about the Veterans History Project?
Oh, you mean it was in the
newsletter.
Paper. Yeah, the newsletter. Okay. The library newsletter.
Okay. Also,
and I think it was Joe.
Yeah.
And I called him up and he invited me to come in.
Okay. Also with us today is Will's wife, Pat. Mr. Nelson has kindly consented to be interviewed for this project, and here is his story. So, Will, tell us a little bit about where you were living when you entered the service. What was your life like at that point? Like, just before you entered the service, what were you doing?
Let's see, at that point,
were you in school?
I'm trying to think. Well, I was in school, although they finally said, well, they didn't want us in school anymore, so they told us to come back later on when the war was finally settled.
Where were you in school?
At University of Illinois Pharmacy.
University of Illinois Pharmacy in Chicago?
Yes, in Chicago.
Okay.
Oak and Wood.
Okay. And what year was that you...
Let's see, we graduated in 41. Mm-hmm. So it was the latter part of 41.
Okay.
Or maybe in 42.
Okay. And so who told you come back when the war is over? Who told you that?
Well, people that interviewed us, there was several of us that went down at one time. When I say several, they were, friends of mine.
Uh-huh.
And so we went down there and...
Down
to the school,
uh-huh.
And they said, we don't want you here right now. In fact, they had other problems besides a couple of kids that wanted to go into pharmacy school.
Okay.
So, and at that time, I had already started working for Walgreens as an apprentice pharmacist.
Okay.
And so you needed your 1 year apprenticeship before you got into school too.
So, okay. Were you living at home with your parents?
Yes, with my parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters?
I had one brother.
Okay.
And he was in service also.
And he was he already in the service?
No, he went in after I did.
Okay.
In fact, he's 2.5 years younger than I. But he's since has passed away though too.
Okay. And so, which branch of the service did you enlist? Were you drafted?
Well, we were drafted then.
Okay.
Afterwards. But we went down to enlist and they didn't want us at that time. They said go back home. Go back to work or whatever you want to do.
Did they say why they didn't want you at the time?
That's what they said, yeah.
Did they say why?
No.
Okay. So you so went to enlist in
the Army.
The Army?
6 or 8. Yes, it was the Army.
Okay.
And I enjoyed the Army, though.
Okay, so you went to enlist in the Army. They said, no, we don't need you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we don't need you.
So when did
they
you...
took, yeah, well, about 6 months later, they volunteered. They sent me a note from the president, report for duty on January 1. And so we went down on, it was on a Sunday.
Okay.
And we went down.
Where did you have to go?
It was at, did we go to, afterwards they sent us to Camp Grant. But
where were
that
you
was
inducted?
A week later.
Where were you inducted?
At Camp Grant.
Okay.
Well, actually I was inducted in Chicago.
That's what
Yeah.
Where in Chicago? Remember?
I don't recall.
Well, tell us a little bit about what your induction was like. I mean, when you walked, how did you get there?
There was several of us that we all came in together. We were all invited to join the Army together.
Okay.
And they swore us all in. And they sent us to Camp Grant.
Okay, but tell us a little bit about what your induction day was like. Was it a room full of men? Was it a small room?
No, it was a whole group of people. And we took a physical.
Okay.
And
what was it like? I mean, did they have you in individual rooms? Did they just have a doctor go down the line?
Yeah, down the line.
Down the line, okay.
They said, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay.
Okay.
And that's how it worked.
So they did that. Did you get inoculations? The shots?
Not at that time, no.
Not yet, okay. You got your Army gear?
Well, they inducted us into the Army.
Uh-huh.
Although they sent us back home, we could stay for 7 days, and then they had a report to downtown. And I don't remember the building we reported at, but from there, we got on buses and it took us to Camp Grant.
Okay.
Which is in Rockford, Illinois.
So was there a history of military service in your family? Or not really?
Well, Pat's uncle was killed in World War II. World War I.
But that's not your family.
Huh?
That's not your family.
No.
But how did your family respond to your entering the service?
Actually, we were drafted in, and then
did they say this is the right thing to do? Were they worried?
Oh, yeah. No, they said it was okay.
Okay.
So, and they took us to Camp Grant, and all the rest of our people that I went with, maybe there was about 20 or 25 that were all drafted together.
Okay.
We all went to Camp Grant. They all got shipped out to various places. And they left me at Camp Grant.
All by yourself.
All by myself. Well,
so what was
they put me to work at Camp Grant, giving down soldiers the uniforms to people that were coming in to be veterans of World War II.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. You got to Camp Grant.
Yes.
On the bus.
Yes.
And what happened? You got off the bus, and where did you go? What did they have you do?
Well, they put us in barracks. They had us divided up, and the group that I was with, we went to one barracks, and that's probably about 20 of us.
And what was the barracks like? Was it one level, two
one
level?
Level?
One level.
Yeah.
Beds on both sides?
Yes.
So like 20 men in a room?
And a foot locker.
And a foot locker.
Yeah. And then you went through a line, a supply line, got a uniform. They looked at you and said, well, this ought to fit you. So.
And what happened? Were you told things you could not bring with you? Things you were supposed to leave at home? Was there anything that they confiscated? Nothing. Okay. So you got all your gear.
Yeah.
Got all your stuff. Went to your barracks, and you had to put it in your foot locker?
Yes, and we got a foot locker. We had to carry the foot locker over and with our clothes in it. And so that all the people in my barracks were shipped out of various places. And I was the last one to be shipped out. But they kept me there maybe a month after everybody had shipped out, and they put me in a supply.
Okay. How long before everybody was shipped out? How long were you all there?
Well, I was there almost a month.
Okay. What did you do for that month before everybody was shipped out?
They put me in a supply.
During that first month?
And I was given out uniforms. And that's the first time I came across a youngster from down south somewhere. he could not read, could not write. And I was amazed, you know, I couldn't believe it. Anybody in the United States could read or write, but this youngster could not.
Okay.
So it kind of flabbergasted me. I had to call the sergeant over and find out what we could do with this. And so we finally, I put an X down. He said, put an X down for his signature.
Okay.
And that's what we did.
Okay.
But that was the big, I couldn't believe it.
Right.
That happened in the United States.
Right.
And that was in the 40s.
Okay. So you're in this barracks.
Yes.
What was it, you get some training in that first month? What was your routine? What was a typical day?
Well, we'd get up in March, do a lot of drilling.
Okay.
And in fact, I met my friend. I lived on Justine at the time, and my buddy lived on, I think it was Bishop, or Laughlin, one of the other. But anyway, it was a block away from Moore Island.
Okay.
And so we accidentally stumbled on one another. He was drafted a couple of days before me. So anyway, Riley and I paddled around together at Camp Grant. And then they finally shipped him out. But I was still there. And I stayed and helped in the supply for quite a while, for about a month. And then they finally shipped me to Kearns, Utah.
Kearns, Utah, okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of the camp they sent you to?
That's what it was.
It was Kearns?
Kearns, Utah.
Okay.
It was Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And
how did you get there?
By train.
By train?
Yeah.
Was it a troop train or was it a regular passenger train?
No, it was a passenger train, but it was a troop train.
Okay, so everyone out there was part of the military,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was all military.
Do you remember how long it took you to get to Utah?
I think it took us about 5 days. It was long.
So what did you do in those 5 days?
You were just on the train, and they fed us on the train.
Like sandwiches or hot meals? Or?
Basically, we got sandwiches.
Okay. And you
have a cup of coffee or something.
Okay. Did you have any responsibilities, or it was just 5 days and you just talked with the guys, played cards?
Look out the window. And I had never been north. I had never been north, and I have never been
west
at all. Until that time, so I was fascinated with what to see out there.
What fascinated you the most?
Well, the one thing when we got into Denver, you know, that's a 505-mile city.
Right.
And that was fascinating for me. I don't know why it was.
Okay.
So anyway, we finally got to Kearns, Utah. And I stayed there quite a while.
And what happened when the train got there? How did you get to the camp? Did you get on buses?
Buses.
Okay. And when you got to camp, what did they do? Did they assign you new barracks?
They assigned you your barracks, and that's how. And it was a sort of a medical group that I was assigned to.
Okay.
And so I stayed in the there's a picture of me on Iwo Jima, and it says that Willard had his own Walgreens drugstore on Iwo Jima, because
okay.
I had worked for Walgreens at the time.
Okay, so this was a medical group? Was the whole camp
basically, yes.
Okay, and?
Well, there was some army too, but I was assigned to the medical part.
Okay, Did you get special training?
Not really. They put me to work. Well, I had already gone a year. Was it a year? Yeah, I think it was a year at University of Illinois for pharmacy. But I had already worked for Walgreens for so many years.
Right.
And so they just assigned me.
And what was your assignment?
Well, the funny part of it was, there was a group that they put me in. They have spent a whole year in the Aleutian Islands.
Up in Alaska?
Up in Alaska. And they put me in this group as a pharmacist. And they gave me no training, but of course I had worked for Walgreens for so many years that I knew a lot. And I went to school there for a while.
So are you saying you went up to Alaska, or that this group was in at the camp?
No, they were in Alaska, but I wasn't. They sent me to Kearns, to Utah.
So how did you serve this group up in Alaska?
Well, they came down to Alaska and down for the year, and then from there we went. I joined the group, and they took. There was another pharmacist and myself. And what they did, they divided the group in half. And I went to Iwo Jima, and he went to the other island up there, further up.
Saipan?
No, not Saipan.
I can't help
anyway, it was in the South Pacific. Okay. The other group went the other way.
Okay, so that's how you ended up in...
Yeah.
So we went
in on the invasion of Iwo Jima.
You were what? I'm sorry.
We were in the invasion of...
You were part of the invasion.
Part of the invasion.
Now let me back up a little bit. How did... You were in Utah.
Yeah.
How did you get over
by to... By train to Washington, Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And they put us on a boat.
Do you remember the name of the boat?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But you know, the funny part of it is, we were down below, and there was five where you slept.
Was it five? Yeah, yeah. The hammock?
Hammock.
Right?
And
where were you in those five?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
But the funny part of it was, I went upstairs because a lot of them were thrown up. We went into a pretty bad storm.
A lot of
seasick. And it did not bother me, but it bothered a lot of people down there. So I went up on deck. And when I got up on deck, they said, "What are you doing up here?" And I said, "Nothing. I just had to get out from downstairs." So they said, "We got a job for you." So there was a group of non-commissioned officers that they were part of the, it was a Navy ship, incidentally.
It was a Navy ship,
yeah.
Okay.
But we had the Army did the gunnery work for some reason.
Okay.
They manned all the guns that we had on the ship. We're shooting down Japanese planes and so forth.
So and this was you were at the active combat area?
Well, that's after we started getting over there.
Okay.
Yes. And what they did, the guy said, "Come on," he says, "I got a job for you." So he put me in, and I served the non-commissioned officers. There was about 12 of them, I guess. Breakfast, lunch, and supper that they got.
Was it the same breakfast, lunch, and supper you got?
And I got the same thing. And the funny part of it is, even my commanding officer, who was a medical doctor, he would come and say, "Nelson," he said, "would you bring me out a sandwich or something? I can't eat that stuff they're serving downstairs."
So what were they serving the regular men?
What you and I would have here for lunch or supper or breakfast.
Okay.
So,
and what were the officers having?
I don't know what the officers had. These were all non-commissioned officers.
Okay.
And so I served them. And I had to wash all the dishes up afterwards. There was only about 12 of them. And so it was nice. I ate real good all the way across.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
How long did it take to get from Seattle?
About 30 days.
Okay.
First we went to Anahuac and stayed there for, well, take it back, we went to the Hawaii for, we didn't get off the ship, we were there, that's all.
Did they just refuel the ship and things like that?
And food and stuff.
Okay.
And then from there we went to Anahuac, and then from there we went to Iwo Jima on the outskirts of Iwo Jima. And then when we got to Iwo Jima, they had some small landing crafts, well, maybe about the length of the room.
Okay.
So we had to climb down rope ladders off the ship with our field pack and got into these little ships, and then we invaded the island.
Now, the Marines had been there ahead of you.
Yes.
And you came in soon after.
Yes, right after the Marines. We were in before the infantry. 147th Infantry came in after we did. But the reason we had to come in, and they took everybody in my group because I was Air Force.
You were Air Force?
Air Force.
Oh, the Army Air Corps, right.
Army Air Corps, yeah. And we had to lay metal strips that were probably as long as this room and about that wide. And
about then, 2 feet wide or 3 feet wide?
Well, about that, maybe 18 inches or
okay.
so.
Okay.
And they'd hook together, and then we had to lay them on the ground on Iwo, the part that we had that was for Mount Suribachi.
Right.
But of course, they were shooting at us all the time we were doing this.
So you climbed down these rope ladders, and they were shooting at you.
We had to climb down the rope ladders.
And you could hear the gunfire, you could see what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
And
we boarded these small landing craft, and they took us into Iwo Jima for a landing.
Now, had they prepared you for, how did they prepare you for what you were going to experience when you got there?
Lots of luck.
Did they have you practice going down these rope ladders, or did it just, here you go?
They threw these rope ladders all the way down the whole side of the ship, and you just climbed down into the boat that you were supposed to go into.
Okay.
And then when they landed, they couldn't quite get all the way up. In fact, the ship that I was on, there was only about maybe 20 years on this little craft. We got stuck on a sandbar. So then the Japanese started firing at us. So then the United States put a smoke screen on top of us. So the Japanese didn't know exactly where we were at.
Okay.
So
did any of the men who were on your boat get shot?
Not at that time, no.
Okay.
None of us got shot, but we're all leading up on the side of the that little ship.
Okay. Yeah. What did you have a pack on your back?
Oh yeah, we had a pack.
And what was in your pack?
Well, I was in medical.
Right.
So I wore the Red Cross.
Uh huh.
And which the Japanese delighted in shooting at us.
Yeah.
They thought that was neat.
So okay.
I was fortunate. We lost quite a few people.
Right.
But we couldn't get all the way up to the edge. After they got us off, they finally pulled us off the sandbar. Then we had to go around.
The Marines pulled you off the sandbar, or?
The, whoever was, somebody did,
I don't know
who was.
So they pulled you off the sandbar.
And then they.
And you landed.
Then we finally got around, turned around, and went in another area and landed.
And this was an area where the Japanese were not, had been cleared from that area, or
no,
was it still fighting?
They were still shooting arrows.
Okay.
So in fact, one of my brothers was killed on the, when we came in.
Okay.
So.
He was shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
So for a kid from the Midwest,
yeah,
this must have seemed.
We had nothing. They had all the people on my boat. They had guns.
Right.
They had their rifles. I had nothing, but I did buy before I left a small knife, you know, like a hunting knife, and that's all I had to fight with.
So you didn't have any firearms with you
no.
when you landed. You were just, you were the medical, and that's all you were supposed to do.
You were not allowed to carry it.
Okay.
No, firearms.
Okay. So you finally landed on the island.
So we got on the island.
And
dug in.
And where?
And we dug in right
You dug
away.
In? Okay.
It's all volcanic ash.
Right. They call it black sand?
Black sand, right.
Right. So you dug in. How long did it take you to get off the ship and into this area where you're finally digging in?
Probably maybe a couple of days anyway.
A couple of days to
yeah.
get that far?
Because they kept shooting arrows all
right,
time.
Right. So
we
how did
you have to get down, stay down on the beach there for a while because we had a little bit more protection on the beach.
Just natural, like rocks and
yes.
things? Okay.
So
it took you a couple of days. You're finally, you're digging in.
Yes.
And from that little dug-in area, what happened next? Where did you go?
When we finally dug down, you mean?
Right. You said you were supposed to lay
yeah.
these metal strips. Was that for roadway?
For runway for the ships.
Okay.
Because they had it. The reason we took you with GMO was it was 650 miles from Tokyo.
Right.
So if our bombers needed not only the bombers, but the small planes could take off from Iwo, they used two belly tanks, one on each side, and there were P-47s fighters, and they would escort the bombers to Japan. And then they would have to drop the belly tanks because they would use all of the gas.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have enough fuel to get back to Iwo. So with the belly tanks, you know, without the belly tanks, I should say.
Okay.
So
you were dug in and you said they were firing at you.
Yes.
So when were you able to get these metal strips laid? They were firing at you like that. How did you do that?
We just got up there and did it. We had flamethrowers with us, and they had, there's some pictures of the Japanese boxers
mm-hmm.
in there where they were up there firing. But we had guys with flamethrowers that would go up on the side of the mountain and burn them out.
So yeah. So they were sort of covering for you
yes.
so you could get these tracks laid down.
So we could get the track. And we finally, we did get the tracks laid down there that same day. It
uh-huh.
took us a while to get that down.
How long did it take you to get all those tracks laid?
Oh, it was quite a while. I would say maybe a week or 10 days.
Okay.
Before the first plane, United States plane could come in. See, the Japs had one strip, and that's what we were trying to repair. And we were trying to lay these strips down also. They interlocked one another.
Right.
So the planes come in safely.
So you came in on the south end of the island?
Yes.
And you said the Japanese, where they were the real, I know they were in all
yeah.
the caves and things
yes,
under the island,
were.
Right? But the north side was really their stronghold?
That was their stronghold.
Okay, so you laid these tracks down on the south side of the island, the
yes,
west side?
Right.
Okay.
And so also the 3rd and 4th Marines were ahead of us. You know, they came in first, and 34th and 5th Marine Division. And the 5th came in on one side, and the 3rd and 4th were in on the other side. So we were a little more protected than what they were.
Right. So during this time, you're trying to get this done, you're under constant fire. How did you eat? How did you sleep?
Well, yeah, all that we had at that time was a little cardboard box that looked like a Cracker Jack box. Our food was in there.
And those were called?
They were the
K-rations?
K-ration.
Okay.
And then after the K-ration, they finally gave us C-ration.
So what was in the K-ration box and what was in the C-ration box?
Well, the K-ration was all dry food. It was like, it was like crackers and there was nothing meat or anything like that.
Okay.
It was strictly all.
Would you just eat the dry food or did you add water to it or?
Well, we tried to get water when we could. Mm-hmm. They did bring a water tanker in, and we'd fill up our canteen. We each had our own canteen, you know,
okay,
that we had an adult.
Right.
And that's all we had, water.
Okay. So how long were you on K rations before you got to the C rations?
Oh, I'd say a couple weeks anyway or better.
Okay.
And the C rations had a little thing that you could burn.
Okay.
And
like a little sterno can or something?
Yeah, like a little sterno in it. So that would warm up the C ration for you.
And what was in a C ration pack?
Well, that was more, you had meat in that or food of some sort. I don't quite remember exactly.
Did they have meat and some vegetable and a dessert?
Yeah, you did have dessert.
Did you get the C ration?
It was like a cookie or something.
Yeah, do they have cigarettes in the package?
I don't remember if they had one in the C ration.
Okay.
I know they didn't, because I didn't smoke, and I still don't.
Right.
So I would trade my cigarettes for something.
Right.
Because I wanted.
You're on Iwo Jima doing this, but on your way there, when you left Seattle, were you able to communicate with anyone back home?
No.
Were you able to tell them where you were going and what was happening?
No.
Okay.
We could write letters, and they would mail them someplace, I guess.
Okay, so you were able to tell them, but not where you were going.
No.
Were you able just to say, I'm leaving?
Yeah, Pat came to visit me in Seattle.
Were you married at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so
she stayed, Shores was my buddy. And so she stayed with his wife.
In Seattle.
In Seattle.
They lived in Seattle. Was it a regular boat or a house?
Well, they lived in an apartment.
Apartment.
But they did live on, she and her husband had lived on a boat.
Okay.
On a parked boat.
So when he left, when his ship sailed, did you know?
No, he didn't say where they were going.
But he did tell you that my ship
leaving.
Is leaving.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know. We knew
right.
Our ship was leaving, but that was it.
That was it.
Oh, we didn't know exactly where we were going to land.
Were you able to write any letters to her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were they censored? Did you get letters
I got letters with, there was nothing blocked out.
Were you told of things you could or couldn't write?
Well, they told us we can't tell where we're going. Or if we knew where we didn't know where we were going, to be honest with you. I didn't know I was going to Iwo Jima.
Okay.
And
but when he was on Iwo, I got a letter saying he was on Iwo.
Okay.
In fact, because it's volcanic and everything, he found a flower. And he picked the flower and he pressed it and he sent it to me. So he said, there's a flower that grows on Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Had you been hearing at home about Iwo Jima?
Well, I heard that it was a dangerous place for people. But,
right.
Yeah.
But you didn't know as much as we know today.
See,
okay.
There was 30,000 Japanese soldiers on Iwo Jima. And the bad thing about it is none of them went home.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we killed them all. Iwo Jima was, I think it was 5 miles, 3 miles by 5 miles, something like that. So it was a very small island. So when they took us a prisoner, you couldn't keep him.
Right.
There was no room
for him.
No
place to put him.
No, especially when there was 30,000 to begin with. So, to be honest with you, we put some of them on a boat and took them out in the Pacific Ocean and just threw them, made them all jump overboard.
Okay.
And there was no way they could swim to an island because there was nothing to swim to.
Right.
You're just out in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
So they just swam to a lake and no longer do it, and they drowned.
Okay.
So
I mean, we've heard.
We do. Well, I was going to say that war is terrible to begin with, but we were not all that great either, you know,
mm-hmm.
With prisoners, because there's no way we could keep like 30,000 prisoners on Iwo Jima.
Right.
3 miles by 5 miles isn't very big.
Right.
So they just went, took them out and let them drown.
Okay.
And then there was a lot of sharks out there too.
Right.
In fact, when we used to go swimming out in the ocean on Iwo, but we had a guy with a submachine gun watching for sharks. And there was, when they threw the garbage over, the sharks were always over there.
Yeah, they swarm.
Yeah.
So you had some downtime when you could sleep and do some, try to relax anyway.
Yeah.
What did you do in that downtime?
To be honest with you, I don't,
you don't remember?
Don't remember any downtime in anymore.
You used to write home.
We were busy all the time.
You wrote home?
Yeah, wrote home, wrote letters. And so it was either to Pat or to my mom and dad, you know.
Right.
And once in a while, someone to my brother, he was in service at that time too. He never got overseas, but.
He stayed stateside?
He stayed stateside, yes.
Okay.
He was one of the lucky ones. But he was 2.5 years younger than I was.
Uh-huh.
So he wasn't in as long.
And how old were you when you were on Iwo Jima?
Well, let's see. 21, 22, something like that.
Maybe 23.
23, yeah.
Okay.
And then from Iwo Jima, we went back to Saipan.
How long?
That's after 8 months on Iwo Jima.
8 months, okay. And what was your rank at that point?
I was sergeant.
You were sergeant, okay.
Yes.
So you went to Saipan on a ship.
Yes.
How long did it take to get to Saipan, do you remember?
Well, to me, it felt like it was forever. It was on one of these flat bottom boats.
Okay.
You're up and down like that. It was really bad news on the those votes.
So is this after the fighting had finally stopped?
Yes. We looked after side back.
So you saw the flag raisings? Did you witness
no,
those?
No, I wasn't quite there at the time when they Marine, you're talking about the Marines.
Right.
No.
You
I was
came
up
after
on,
that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that was about day five that they...
Right. Well, there were the two flag raisings.
Yes,
right.
I know.
So you came but after that?
We came after that,
okay.
Yes.
So you went to Saipan when the fighting on Iwo Jima stopped?
Yes.
Okay.
And when we got everything cleaned up in Saipan, I mean, then we went back to Saipan, and that was a big island.
And what did cleaning up, what do you mean by cleaning up on Iwo Jima? What did you have to do?
To clean up, you mean?
You mean just finish the fighting?
Yes.
Okay.
Although a year later, they found one Japanese soldier that was still alive. And he would come up, and they knew somebody was coming up and taking food. He came out at night and would sneak out and get some food and go back in wherever he was hiding. But he was on the, it would be the west side of the island.
Okay.
So
they finally caught him?
Yes, they did. But I don't think they killed him, to be honest with you. But we
at that point, there wasn't a need,
no.
Probably, yeah.
We killed an awful lot of Japanese.
So did you use your whatever medical training you had?
Oh, yeah.
You use that on Iwo Jima?
Oh, yes.
Doing
yes.
What?
Well,
were you a medic?
Somebody got shot, got
right.
Hurt some way. We would be there. So
what?
And we had quite a few plane crashes, too.
Okay.
And we
Japanese
had,
or American?
No, American.
Okay.
I don't know why, but we lost quite a few pilots. I don't know if they just got tired. And that, a couple of them crashed right on our island, on Iwo Jima.
Okay.
And we went into that one island because it was a troop transport ship.
Mm-hmm.
So we went running in, and then we found out that down, we were alongside of a little bit of a hill, and I said, stay close to the hill because that's not mine, but the rest of the part was mine, you know, for the Japanese to choose.
The Japanese so, had mined it, or
no,
we had mined it?
We had mined it.
Okay.
Well, I guess they had mined some of it too, to be honest with you.
Okay, so did you have enough supplies for all the work you were doing for the medical
yes.
work?
Yes.
You didn't run out of supplies, so that's
no,
good.
No, I had enough stuff.
And they would bring more supplies in by ship?
Yes. We would order what we need. In fact, we had a general hospital there. Well, it was like a mini general.
Uh-huh.
And so if we had a dispensary, finally toward the end, they built us a Quonset hut.
Okay.
And we were in the Quonset hut. And in fact, they built us two, because if we had sick people before we had a tent, but then when they built us the Quonset hut, they were all, you know, the Quonset hut is metal.
Right.
Yeah. And so we had like a 13-bed
okay.
Hospital there. So we didn't have to ship them into the main hospital if it was not serious enough.
And the main hospital was on the ship?
Well, it was on the ship, but we also had a main hospital on the island. That was afterwards, though.
Okay.
It was long afterwards.
But I mean, during the fighting that
oh,
was
during
taking
the fighting,
place?
No, it was just us.
Just you?
Yes, in tents.
In tents, okay.
Yeah, sometimes we didn't even have a tent, we had nothing over the top yet, so.
So, were the men just on stretchers, or?
Well, we'd have stretchers, and we had some of the cots that we had.
Okay.
And so we'd put them on a cot.
Okay, there was a lot of fighting going on. How did you manage to accommodate all the wounded?
Well, we didn't, if there were too bad, we shipped them directly to the hospital.
On the ship?
We'd mark them, and of course the dead ones, they went one spot, and they were already killed. They went to a certain spot, and the people for hospitals went to another spot. But we'd check them out and see how badly hurt they were, and they would go into the hospital if we couldn't take care of them.
Okay.
We tried to take care of as much as we could, ship them back to the line again, because we needed the fighting people too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did men ever ask you not to be shipped back to the line, to send me to the ship?
Probably. I know one, yeah, one did not want to go back to his group. But I think they said, well, you have to go back because you're not hurt that bad, you know. So.
Okay. So you were.
And we didn't make the decisions. We had, you know, a doctor and a dentist in our group. So the doctor would really make the final decision. And the funny part of it is, he was a good surgeon from New York City, but he liked to drink. And we'd get alcohol, I mean, a bottle of wine, I mean, whiskey rather.
Uh-huh.
And he would try to get them the whiskey all the time. So I had a little problem keeping that away from him.
Okay.
Because I was responsible for drugs and the supplies over there.
Okay.
So
again, how long were you on Iwo Jima?
8 months.
8 months?
Yeah.
Okay. And?
And then I went back to Saipan.
And what did you do on Saipan?
Just take care of sick call, basically, and run the infirmary that we had. And we had the big hospital there, too.
Okay.
We had a big general.
How big was the hospital on Saipan?
On Saipan, on Iwo Jima or Saipan? Saipan was a big hospital. It was
right.
A general hospital. Now, we didn't have a general before. On Iwo, we just had our hospital, which was a 13-bed deal.
Right.
Or it was probably maybe 50-bed at the other hospital.
And so on Iwo Jima, you had this little 13-bed hospital.
Yes.
But after the fighting stopped, this 50-bed hospital was built?
Yes. Well, they were building it.
Okay.
They came on the island after we were on the island.
Okay, and was this like the Army?
Yeah, it was
Army Corps of Engineers or something?
Well, it was built by the Seabees.
Okay.
Seabees were very active over there.
Okay.
And they did a lot of work. They were all men that really knew their trades. You know, they were not young guys like I was when in the 20s. They were probably in their 30s or even some probably older.
Old guys, yeah.
Yeah. They were. That's what we considered the old
guys. That's right. So they built a hospital after the fighting stopped or when it slowed down? When did they build this hospital?
Well, they stopped building as soon as we could get on the island and get a secure place for it.
Okay.
But they had to make sure that all the Japanese were just about gone.
Right.
Or, because they were well guarded in that too.
So it was when the fighting was slowing down and that ended.
They were like a station hospital.
Okay.
See, a station hospital is smaller than a general hospital.
Okay.
In the Army.
So how big a hospital was this? How many beds?
Well, I don't remember what they had.
Uh-huh.
But they had quite a bit. They could probably take, the station probably would take maybe a good 100 or so.
Okay.
But they had big tents to put the beds underneath, you know. And then they had, it was all camouflage to them, so.
Right. Okay.
Now, Chichijima was about 50 miles from us. And on a clear day, that was the island that Japanese owned. And they still own it, Chichijima, today.
Okay.
But they would bomb us from the Chichijima if they could get planes off. So we were always trying to bomb them before they could get their planes off. I mean, our group would fly over there and drop bombs on them.
Uh-huh.
Try to destroy planes and that. So.
Now, while you were in Iwo Jima, did you ever come across any of the Japanese?
Just the one that I remember. That, I don't remember who brought them up. But a lot of dead ones, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I got pictures. What we do is bury the, I was back in the medics all the time.
Right.
So I wasn't really shooting at the Japanese over there. But a couple times I witnessed where they might dig a hole with the one of the big diggers to and bury maybe 12, 15 of them all at one time. And cover
like a mass grave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They weren't tagged or anything. Well, we didn't know who they were anyhow.
Right.
So they just threw them in and buried them.
Okay. So you went to Saipan after Iwo Jima?
Yes.
And you worked in the hospital dispensary? And.
Yeah, we had a small dispensary there.
Okay.
And Saipan was basically like we were on, a little bit larger than we were on Iwo Jima, because it wasn't a station hospital, but we had more things. We had a dentist. In fact, the dentist had an assistant, and this was on Iwo Jima. The assistant would be like that. He would pedal.
Uh-huh.
This thing, and so if somebody had
pedal for the drill.
Yeah.
Power the drill. Okay.
Power the drill. I'm pedaling.
Hope you didn't get tired.
Yeah, well, and people didn't like that. Everybody was so used to electricity, you know.
Right, right.
And they come to you, we had none. So
how long were you in Saipan?
I came home in, was it March?
Yeah.
And I was on, let's see, probably might have been a good 8 months or so.
Okay.
I looked at my book, I could tell you more.
Okay. So while you were in Saipan, the fighting was winding down.
Yes, it was winding down.
Did your life, other than not being shot at all the time,
yeah.
How was your life different on Saipan than on Iwo Jima?
Well, you weren't worried about getting shot at. Yeah. That was the big thing.
Were your meals the same kind of meals, or did you eat like in a...
Yeah, we ate better on Saipan.
Okay.
And we'd have a regular mess hall where we'd go to and eat, where somebody else would do the cooking.
Okay.
So.
And what about your living quarters?
The living quarters?
Building?
Yeah, we lived in Quonset House.
Okay.
But I knew it was strictly in the hole in the ground, or if we were lucky, maybe we, what we did too, and when we had that hole in the ground, you know, each one of us were given a half a tent. And so Daryl and I...
Daryl was your tent mate?
Yeah, he was my tent mate. Well, and his Pat stayed with his wife.
Okay.
Daryl Shores. But anyway, the two tents would lace together. So I can't remember how they did it, but they laced together. And so we had that over the top of us.
Okay. So. And we in sleeping bags on the ground? Or off the ground?
You know,
Were you cots?
No, we were underneath the ground, yeah.
You were still under the ground?
Yeah, because we had the tent up on top.
Over the top, yeah. Of this stuff, okay.
So, but and then and up, we had quite a few bullet holes in the tent.
Uh-huh.
Up above us.
So right.
We know that there were fiberglass all the time.
So when you got to Saipan, you were in Quonset huts on cots.
Yes.
And a more...
Luxury.
Yeah, it was like, I'm sure it felt like luxury, yeah. At that point. And what sort of meals did you have?
Oh, we had a regular meal like the Army would serve.
Okay.
In fact, we would go to the Army and they would serve us.
Probably tasted pretty,
yeah,
good at that
it
point.
Did. Yes, it did. It was very good.
And things were a little calmer for you.
Yes.
So what did you do when you did have some downtime, some off time?
Well, on Saipan, we had more entertainment.
Like what kind of entertainment?
I mean, a lot of movie stars would come.
Okay.
Bob Hope and...
did you see Bob Hope?
I don't remember if I did or not. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Who was the guy that was singing in the rain?
Gene Kelly?
Yeah, Gene Kelly.
Okay.
So I saw a couple of the ladies. I think, I don't remember if it was Donna Shore or somebody. So we did have a little bit more entertainment on Saipan.
Right.
Had very little on Iwo.
Iwo Jima just,
yeah,
writing letters.
They didn't want to come either.
No.
Calendars.
So
chances of getting shot at.
That's right. So you had a little bit of entertainment. You were still writing. Could you tell Pat any more than you were able to tell her before? Was the censoring any lighter?
Well, on Saipan, yeah.
Okay.
Although I don't remember being on Saipan as long as I was on Iwo. Saipan was a place where you got a number, and whatever your number was when they took you back to the States.
Okay.
So
like preparing you to go back home.
Yeah.
And so you said you were there 8 months?
I was on Iwo Jima 8 months.
How long on Saipan?
And I was trying to think of I'd have to look at my book at the one that he took,
yeah,
to.
Was it probably less than 8 months?
Yes, slightly, but
not much.
Not much different. So.
Okay. Did you know when he was moved to Saipan? Did you hear?
No.
All you knew, he was overseas.
Yeah, it was just overseas.
Yeah.
And that's what you marked your letter, you know, somewhere overseas or,
yeah, okay,
something like that.
Yeah.
I forget.
So all you knew is he was somewhere in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, some of the kids that I went to Illinois with, they ended up in Germany.
Right.
So they were in a different part. And I don't know how they divided us up, but they did some way.
Right. So, from Saipan, was it a system of points that you had to earn to return home?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, you had to have so much time, yes.
Okay.
in service. And they did give you extra points because we were overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got 1 month credit and just being in the United States, you might have got 1.5 points for being overseas on EWO or CIPAC.
Okay. Was it, you know, if you were in a combat zone, you got more points than if
yes.
you were in a non-combat zone?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And do you remember how many points you needed to come home?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay.
Don't recall.
So how were you notified that it was your time to go home?
Well, when I was on Saipan, they told us we had enough points to go home, and my term would maybe a month and a half or 2 months on Saipan. So.
Okay. And what, do you remember?
And Saipan was, it was a nice place to be.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a flat island, and, well, I don't know, EWO was, of course I had too many bad memories from EWO. Lost too many people over there. And Saipan, you didn't lose anybody because we got to eat in the lunchrooms. And
right.
Never had that before.
Felt like more civilized
yeah,
living.
Right.
Right. So do you remember what your rank was when you were on Saipan? Your rank?
I was sergeant.
You were sergeant
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah.
So did a lieutenant come and tell you, a captain come and tell you that your time was up? They notified you somehow?
Yeah, somehow. I don't remember how we got notified, but we did get notified that our time would be up and like a month and a half or whatever, and we'd be going home.
You must have been so happy when you got
yes.
that notification.
And how?
Were you able to tell Pat you were on your way home?
I don't think so.
So.
But I'm trying to think. We landed in California.
So you flew back? Or you took a ship back?
Took a ship back.
Okay.
On the boat.
Okay,
another long boat ride, yeah.
Okay, so. And the mood on the boat on the way home must have been a lot different than the mood on the
way out
there.
Yes, it was.
So a lot noisier, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And yeah. What did you do on the boat on the way home?
Basically, we didn't do it. Very much. The only thing is, you know, it was like 30 days going over there.
Uh-huh.
It was like 5 days coming back.
Because you didn't have to zigzag and do all those evasive maneuvers.
No. And you could go by yourself. You didn't have to wait for a whole bunch of ships to kind of guide you back.
Like a convoy, yeah.
Yeah, convoy.
Where were you when you heard that the war was over in Japan? Were you back home?
No. I was just trying to think. I think it was on Iwo Jima that I'm not sure if the war was over on Iwo Jima. Because the one thing I do remember, the chaplain's assistant and myself, we got to be good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were good friends, I built a lot of stuff. Well, the war was over, so I didn't have to work too much in the medical because we just had our sick call in the morning and we were off the rest of the day. So I built the Quonset hut. It was built already. They gave us a Quonset hut for our church on Iwo Jima. And I went in and built an altar for the minister there. and for my buddy that was a chaplain's assistant. And I built a pulpit for the minister to give his sermons and such. So my dad was a carpenter, and that was one of the things when I was going to school, or I was a helper all the time, because I was the oldest boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to learn a lot of carpenter skills. So I built the chapel inside. I went and got some, well, the two of us went and got some stuff that we'd throw over the airplanes or over the top. So the
like jets, tarps?
It wasn't a tarp. It was so you couldn't see what was down. It was
Ground. Okay.
And
like camouflage netting and things?
It was a netting of some sort.
Okay.
And I used that as a background for this, the church. Turned out really pretty. In fact, I took the picture to our church in Chicago, and somehow or other it dropped out of my pocket, and I lost the thing, and I've been so mad at myself because I only had that one picture of what I built on Iwo Jima.
But it was, so you were on Iwo Jima when you were told the war was over?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Do you remember anything about that day?
Yeah.
What do you remember?
Because I went up to, Jake, I built the altar, and there was no one in the church at the time. I went up and thanked the Lord for taking care of us, and so the war was over for us. So I remember that.
You must have been happy it was over, Pat, right?
Very much.
So how long?
I knelt down in front of the altar that I built and prayed. So that's how the day was when I found out that the war was over.
Do you remember how you found out?
I think it was announced over the PA system or something.
It must have been a very noisy celebration in the camp.
It was. Yes. The camp was very noisy.
Yeah. So how long after that was it before you left for home? You said you were on Saipan
for
several months.
It wasn't that long, maybe about 5 months or 4 months on Saipan, and then I went home.
Okay. And you went home on 5 days by ship, you said, about 5 days. And where did you land?
Same place in Seattle.
Seattle. And did Pat know you were coming home?
I don't think so. Did you?
I don't really know.
I don't think we were able to say anything at the time. I'm not sure.
So when you got back to Seattle,
were
you still in the Army Air Corps?
Were you
discharged? Where were you discharged?
From Camp Grant.
Okay, so you
I
were
went
still
in Camp Grant.
So when you got to Seattle, you got leave of some sort? Did you have a debriefing?
I don't think they gave us any leave there. Although, maybe on the weekends we could go into town.
So how did Pat know you were back?
I don't remember.
No, I don't either. You just came home.
You just walked in the door, huh?
No. I know she knew that I was back in the States.
Well, how did you know he was back in the States? How did you find out?
I think he sent a letter, and I think he'd
called.
Yeah,
called or on the phone or wrote a letter or something.
Okay.
I knew you were coming because we decided to take a honeymoon. We hadn't had a honeymoon.
So you did your honeymoon?
So we did a honeymoon.
A funnymoon.
A funnymoon, yeah.
So just like a weekend, or?
We went to New York.
Yeah.
And the other time we went to
Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Was that after you were discharged?
Yeah.
Yeah, after my discharge.
So you're in Seattle. How long were you in Seattle?
Not too long. When we got back, they shipped us back to Camp Pratt right away and discharged us pretty fast.
Okay.
It took a lot less time to discharge us than it did to get me in the Army.
So it must have been quite a sight for you to see the shores of the United States when you returned.
I know. It was. Now, on the way back, I didn't serve anybody. We just ate on the ship. They had different food for us. It was better.
Much better food.
Yeah.
So,
give me some more.
So you went from Seattle. You were just there a couple days.
Yeah.
And then they sent you back to...
That's correct. That's enough. Oops.
They sent you back to Illinois?
Yes.
To Camp Grant?
Camp Grant, in Rockford.
In Rockford, okay. And how long were you there?
Just long enough to get processed out. And then we went right back to Chicago.
Okay, how did you get to Camp Grant from Seattle? Troop train again?
In train, yes.
Okay. So...
Yeah, that was luxury to fly.
Yeah. So you were, was it a troop train again, or was it
troop
just a regular?
Train, yeah.
And was Pat, did she come back separately?
She was already back home.
I was home.
Okay, so you left after he came back. You came back here?
I came back to Chicago? Yeah, because I was working.
Okay.
For the telephone company. And then I volunteered for the Red Cross.
Okay.
So
then she was home. You came
she
home
was
on the
troop. Home, yeah.
You came home on the troop train.
Yes.
You got to Rockford, and then they discharged you.
Yes.
And what do you remember of your discharge?
It was a wonderful feeling. I was so happy to be out. Although, at the time, I worried about what was I going to do? I was only assistant pharmacist at the time.
Okay.
But then I went back to school and finished up and got my, a registered pharmacist license.
Okay. So you got back to Rockford.
Yes.
You were discharged. How did you get back to Chicago? You take a train again? Did you ride with someone?
I think we just busted back to Chicago.
Okay.
It's not that far,
Right. So you got back?
I think we got on a bus and came back to Chicago. That was it.
And what was your... I know Pat had seen you already.
Yeah.
How did your family react when they saw you for the first time?
Oh, they were happy again. Especially because nothing happened to us. I mean, weren't shot or maimed. Some of the soldiers came back and hard to believe that their mind snapped and all kinds of problems that we had. Because I was in the medical part of all the time I was in service.
Okay.
So I was either working in the hospital or I was working someplace where I was dispensing in the pharmacy.
So how old were you when you were discharged?
Oh, at 22, 23, was it? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe 23.
Yeah, probably around 23.
Okay. So you'd seen a lot for someone who was 23.
Yes.
And you came back home, and after celebrating the fact that you got home safely.
Yeah.
What was the next thing you did?
Find a job.
Okay, and where did you go?
I was fortunate because I had worked for Walgreens before.
Uh-huh.
So
they
I
took
went
him
to work,
back.
And they were happy that I was there. And so I finished up school with working with Walgreen also. You know, part-time at school. I mean, more full-time at school and part-time at Walgreen.
Okay. So you went to school at the University of Illinois in Chicago?
Yes, yeah.
With the School of Pharmacy?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there was another School of Pharmacy that was, can't remember the name of that.
I can't remember his name either. I can't remember his name either. But he went there.
It was Professor Snow anyway. I do remember that because of the snow. He was one of the people that was at, connected with the University of Illinois Pharmacy School. Mm-hmm. And you gotta remember that our pharmacy school, when I first started, was, it wasn't even as big as this library. This library is humongous compared to what our school was.
And when you got back?
And yeah, when I got back, it was very, very small. In fact, we were by the Cook County Hospital, you know where they have that? And we were at Polk and Wood Street.
Okay.
But it was just, I don't know, maybe today it's a humongous, not only hospital, but pharmacy and nursing and
right.
Everything is right there together. So,
how long did you have to go to school before you finished your degree?
I think it was, I had to go another 2 years or so.
Okay. Did you use the GI Bill at all? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that helped pay for your education?
Tuition, yeah.
Okay.
So.
And you worked at Walgreens and went to school, so you were earning a paycheck while you were doing
yes.
it.
Yes. It helped out.
It helped, yeah. And were you still working at that time?
Yeah.
Working for the phone company?
Telephone.
Okay. Now, you said you got married. You were married when you were in the service.
Yes.
Did you get married because you knew you were going in the service, or?
No. It was after I was in service that I came home and we got married.
Yeah. You came home on a Thursday and we got married on a Saturday.
So, okay.
But we had been going together, you know, well, Pat and I
we met in fourth grade.
In fourth grade at the grammar school.
Uh-huh.
And we went to high school together, same high school. So.
But we never went together or dated because he was always working. He had no time for girls.
But he had time to get married then.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you got home, where did you end up living? Did you buy a house? Did you have an apartment?
No, we lived with her folks for a short time.
For a while. Then we got an apartment. My girlfriend's father was a decorator, and he decorated big buildings for companies. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's a one-room apartment available on the east side. So we took it.
79th Eagle Side, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ingleside. And it was $27 a month.
Okay.
So we could manage that.
Okay.
And I made $30 every 2 weeks. So I made $60 a month, and he was drawing part-time pay. And so we managed that.
Okay. And you started a family?
Not
right away.
Our first child was born on our sixth wedding anniversary.
Okay.
So we made a plan that when we had a cake, we had a candle for his birthday and a candle for our anniversary.
Okay.
And when he could first talk, in his little bitty voice, he said, "My mother and dad got married on the day I was born." So you didn't do that in 1950.
No.
You didn't tell people. You kept it a secret. But anyway, we have three sons.
Okay. So, and you continued working as a pharmacist, you said, worked with Walgreens?
Yes.
And then you worked with Michael Reese Hospital?
Well, yeah. Michael Reese was a lot after
Yeah.
But I started working for Walgreens.
When you were about 9, didn't you?
Well.
Because you were a delivery boy.
Remember, you came down on your bicycles or something to see me at 55th Street.
And he bought us a Coke.
And I brought her the first large Coke she ever had.
I never had a 10-cent Coke.
It was a 10-cent Coke, I think.
They were always a nickel.
So you went on to work as a pharmacist?
Yes.
Did you join any veterans organizations? Did you keep in touch with anyone from the service?
I belong to, yes, to the veterans, yes.
Which associations do you belong to?
Well, I belong to the VFW, I belong to the American Legion.
American Legion.
Yeah. And it seems like there was something else that I belonged to.
Do you keep in touch with anyone you met in the service?
Not anymore.
Keep in touch with what?
Have you kept in touch with anybody that you met in the service, or did you keep in touch with anyone?
Well, George Kincheros.
Yeah,
George. And we went to pharmacy school together. It's the first time when the guy said,
get out of here.
Get out of here. Because he lived close by. We lived at 79th and Ingleside, and he lived about 82nd Ingleside.
Okay. And just about 3 blocks away.
I had a car, an old, what the heck was it now? Anyway, it was a real old car that I drove to school all the time. And so George would ride with me and a couple other guys, so that way I got gas for the car when it was running.
Right.
George just had his 90th birthday, and they celebrated in Harvester Park over here.
Okay.
It was nice.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a nice birthday party.
So we've been in touch with them.
For a long time, right?
Yeah. So we went to that.
Do you go to any reunions, or?
Pardon?
Do you go to any reunions from your time in the service?
No.
Okay.
But he did go on the honor flight.
You did go on, so you got to go see the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.
It was beautiful.
Isn't it? I've been
beautiful.
There.
Beautiful. Yeah. You've been there.
Yes. I was there when it opened.
Yeah. It was very impressive to me.
And he hears from the man that was his chaperone. He hears from him.
Like the Iwo Jima monument that we have there, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, how did your experience in the military affect the way you see the world today? Affect what's happening in your life and what's happening in the world? Was it a good I know it was a difficult experience, but what impact did it have on your own personal life? Let's start there.
Well, I don't know if it was so much the Army but it was the fact that it came from, a Christian family. My mother always made sure we went to Sunday school and the church and the youth groups and stuff. So, I don't know, I've been active in our church. I've been chairman of the council. Chairman of the, that's a church council, and I've been chairman of trustees, and what you were on to the
deacons,
board of deacons. So I've been very active in our church, although lately I haven't done anything for the church. Mm-hmm. When you get up to 91, you start quitting and stuff.
So,
and I've been active in the community. I've been pastor of our Kiwanis Club and worked with that for 50 years.
60.
They gave me a 50-year certificate. And the Lodge gave me a 50-year certificate for being in the Masonic Lodge. And Yeah.
So how did your military service affect your life in general? Was it something, did it make you think a certain way or feel a certain way, or did it give you opportunities you didn't have, or?
Well, I think it opened up opportunities, yes.
Okay, in what way?
And, well, and especially in thinking, and I don't know, try to help other people, that's a big thing. Because.
The Boy Scouts. He's been very active in the Boy Scouts.
Boy Scout for 50 years.
Okay.
I mean, a leader, I should say. And we, Christmas time, we were always working for Salvation Army for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Either ringing the bell for them or for down in Arizona. We were fortunate to live in Arizona for about 20 years.
Okay.
I spent our Christmas down there. And down there, we would work for them, and the people would register their boys and girls, tell us what size shoe they wear, what size sweater, and we'd write it down. And then they'd come back, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, I forgot now, and pick up the stuff. Salvation Army would buy it for them, of course.
Right.
So, but we just would help them out.
Okay.
So.
How did your time in the service affect what you see happening in the world today? The conflicts and things like that?
Yeah. I don't know if it affected. Don't really know if it affected one way or another, to be honest with you. Got a lot of training in the service, and I think that was beneficial for helping.
Mm-hmm.
And got the GI Bill from them, so.
Okay.
That's about it, I guess.
Is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to add before we finish the interview?
Pardon?
Is there anything we haven't covered?
Oh.
Anything you'd like to add before we finish?
No. But I appreciate the fact that I was able to be invited and that it might go down in the archives someplace, somewhere.
Okay.
And maybe keep the world straight.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. Well, then, thank you, and we are going off record.